Our podcast today is produced at St. John's Lutheran Church in Salisbury, North Carolina, where we see the church as an important venue for conversations that matter, a place where we can and should engage in good, faithful, and sometimes hard conversations about issues and events that need our attention. For more conversations like these, please visit our website, stjohns-salisbury.org, or follow this podcast on your preferred platform.
In what could be a potential breakthrough in the battle against COVID, a vaccine developed by Pfizer and BioNTech has shown a 90% efficacy rate in a trial with more than 43,000 participants. The company's also saying no serious safety concerns have been observed and that the results have been analyzed by an independent committee. Pfizer's CEO calling it a great day for science and humanity.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rhodes Woolley, and I'm pleased to have with me a good friend and member of St. John's, Alyssa Harris. Alyssa is the Executive Director of Healthy Rowan and the Community Health Manager for Rowan County, a title that you should get to know since Alyssa is helping to orchestrate distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine to residents of Rowan County. Alyssa grew up in Rockwell, went to school at UNC Chapel Hill, master's in public health from USC and Columbia. I had the privilege of marrying Alyssa and her husband, Philip, last April, and I have to say that they are one of the most enjoyable couples I've ever been around. Alyssa, we're so very thankful for you and for your passion to increase the health and well-being of people who live in our community. So welcome. Hey, listen, you grew up in the eastern part of the county in a small, close-knit town of Rockwell. You learned early on how to look out for your neighbors and the importance of investing in your community, which is pretty much what you're doing now in this particular job. We've talked a lot about your work with the health department, and it strikes me that it's not really a job for you. It's a continuation of what you've been doing all of your life, caring for your neighbors. Was there a time in your growing up when you just knew deep in your heart and soul that you wanted to teach people about good health?
You know, this is an interesting question because I was thinking back about the influences that I had, and one of the biggest influences is my grandmother. So my grandmother was a coach and physical education teacher at Knox for 30 years. She was also one of the first women who was put in the Hall of Fame for sports in Salisbury, for Salisbury High School. Jane Smith Steinberg. So she was a huge influence. I actually had her as one of my substitute PE teachers when I was at Irwin Middle. And so we always kind of grew up with that idea of health and being healthy, engaging in sports. So it's always been important. But then when I watched my sister go to college, so my sister's 4 years older, she went to college for nutrition education. And I realized that you can make that a job. And that can be something that you do to help people is you can teach them to live a healthy life. I originally really wanted to be a doctor. I was all about med school until I realized I do not like needles or blood or sick people, which is kind of funny.
Potentially a problem
with being a doctor. So, you know, just looking at the other options I had, I realized, you know, public health was the perfect fit for what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be for my community.
That's great. Well, clearly, like the example of your grandma, I mean, I think that's a good one. There are lots of folks, I'm sure, throughout our county who have been good, strong examples of good health, not just vocationally, but just at home and in other places. Having said that, though, we know that we have some problems with health. Our health statistics in Rowan County are pretty rotten. I mean, we're 73rd out of 100 counties, is that right, in the state's annual health assessment. Just some statistics that you shared recently, 38% of adults and 28% of our high school students are obese. Our life expectancy is 3 years under the state average. 14% of our residents are food insecure. 17% of our residents drink excessively. Our suicide rate is 6 points higher than the state average. I mean, all of those just sound grim. And I'm sorry at the beginning of this conversation to throw out such grim numbers, but which of these statistics keeps you up at night and why?
So they are pretty grim, but they're also a reality that we have to face and that we have to move forward with. So really all of them keep me up thinking about how do we make our community a healthier place. Two things that I really think about, though, are the vital conditions that we need to live healthy lives and mental health safety nets that I think are at the root of a lot of these other issues. So things like the suicide rate and excessive drinking and even shortened life expectancy do have roots in mental health. The shortened life expectancy is happening across the U.S., but especially here, and part of that is due to the increase in overdose deaths, specifically for white men between the ages of 20 to 35. So that's a significant amount of life lost whenever we do have or have that in our community. And, you know, even thinking about things like obesity and, food insecurity. Both of those can cause stress and also stem from stress. So thinking about food insecurity causes significant stress on the people who are experiencing it. And obesity is a result of stress, of not being physically active, of not having access to those healthy foods, and you know, not maybe having, being stressed out, which leads us to wanting more high fat and high sugar foods. So I think, you know, looking at ways that we can move upstream and address the mental health part of that will have some really significant positive downstream effects in impacting all of those statistics for Rowan County.
That's fascinating because, and it makes sense when you're tying a lot of it to a lot of these vital health statistics to mental health, because mental health for so long was taboo, or at least it was sort of closeted. We didn't talk about it, for whatever reason. Thankfully, we've been talking a lot more about it in recent years, so what does one do? How does the county then take more seriously mental health?
I think number one, just bringing awareness to it. So recently the United Way did a Into the Light walk for suicide and mental health and well-being awareness, where they raised funds to then put back into the community specifically for evidence-based interventions, things that work that we know can improve mental health. The health department is looking at programs like QPR, which stands for Question, Persuade, and Refer. Sort of like CPR, but it's for mental health, specifically for those who might be questioning or considering suicide. So I think, number one, the awareness of it, and then number two, looking at what has worked for other communities and bringing that to the table here. We recognize that you can't separate the head from the body. We know every mental health crisis, everything that has to do with mental health, then turns around and affects our physical health. Everything from violence experienced as a child to the stress of a parent being divorced or experiencing food insecurity leads to chronic disease down the road. So it's both a intervention and it's also about preventative care by helping our community heal and be more resilient for the future.
And that's a phrase worth taking home. You can't disconnect the head from the body. That makes good sense, and the connectivity of all of that. And it would take a community's significant investment and intervention. One would assume, mm-hmm. Right? So does that mean more resources? Does that mean better trained medical care or EMTs or police officers or physicians? Or how do we get there?
So I think it's all of the above, but it's also the everyday person. It's community members having the tools and the phrases and the understanding of what happens when we do get stressed out. So there's one training that we've done, and it's called Community Resiliency Model, but it talks about how do you calm someone down when they're in a state of heightened awareness or they're flipping their lid. We cannot talk to someone who is in that state logically because that's not where their brain is. So it talks about how do you get yourself online and keep your cool, but it also talks about how do you help someone else do that. And there are scientific proven ways of doing that, and we've actually trained 20 people already in our community to use these tools and to teach others. Unfortunately, we did that training in February and then March pandemic hit, but it's something that is currently in the works. We just know that with the pandemic, there's going to be a lot more significant mental health issues that we're going to see as a result. So, you know, just trying to manage the fire that's going on right now and also looking to the future to make sure that we're providing all the supports necessary so we don't see increases in all of those things, which we may see even with the help that we're trying to do.
Great. Chris and I have been watching The Crown, so we've got kings and queens on our brain. So if you were queen, you're queen of Rowan County, just imagine, and you could do anything that you wanted to improve the county's health. You had the resources at your disposal. You could really direct and insist that this one area is where we place our focused attention. What's the first thing you'd tackle?
Oh, gosh. See, that's so hard because everything is so interconnected. I mentioned the vital conditions. So you need a healthy, stable home life. You need to have a life that is free of personal violence, of community violence. You need reliable transportation, access to healthy foods, and the ability to have a job that provides that livable wage. And without those foundational pieces, it is really hard to live a healthy life. And just to have one of those things is not enough. So I'm recognizing that. But if I kind of take a step back and just look at the smallest piece that I can start to have that rock and ripple effect for our community, I would just encourage, personally, physical activity. And I know it sounds really funny, but it is the one small thing that everyone can do to build up their, one, it builds mental health, it improves our cognition, it monitors or manages our blood sugar, it gives us this opportunity to feel like we have accomplished something. And I think that one thing can lead to a lot of other really great changes for our community, is getting people to feel like they can make a difference for themselves. And then I think that will then snowball into making a difference for the larger community.
I assume there are statistics around the country that show a community's reliance on physical fitness and health. I mean, is the data out there?
Oh yeah, it's very strong in having that healthy community and having just exercise. I mean, we do exercise prescriptions and we've been talking about that with Healthy Rowan, but having that one small piece leads to so many positive health changes for folks. It leads to weight loss, which is not the ultimate end-all be-all goal, but it also leads to people getting off medication, to feeling less depressed, to managing their mental health and anxiety, to feeling like they can go out and connect with other neighbors. To me, that's what we need, is that healing of the community as a whole. You can't have just healthy people that are disconnected from others. And I think, again, it's the spark that kind of moves things along if we're able to do that one small thing.
So prescribing good health or exercise. Yeah, is that widespread among our medical professionals?
So we are doing that at the community care clinic. So Dr. Wilson is sort of a pioneer for us, started prescribing exercise and has now moved on to lifestyle. And when we talk about prescribing healthy lifestyles, that means things like encouraging healthy eating, encouraging physical activity, stress management, building relationships with others, not smoking or not using tobacco, and getting good sleep. So people don't realize that if you are able to build on those pillars, you are going to have a strong foundation for good health, and you might be able to get off the medication. You might be able to do more because you feel better just by those, I want to say simple. They're simple, but they're not easy lifestyle changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the Christian tradition, well, a Judeo-Christian tradition, we would call that good stewardship. It's stewardship of body. Mm-hmm. And likewise, I think you could say stewardship of mind. As God's temple, it's critically important that we take good care of our physical selves. So yeah, thank you for that. Well, let's do talk about the vaccine, because it's fresh on everybody's mind now, although they will not be hearing this podcast until January. And we're expecting a global, worldwide audience listening to your comments now, so no pressure whatsoever. But by the time folks listen to this podcast, we will have had probably 2 weeks under our belts, which means thousands, if not already millions, across the country who have been vaccinated, which is just remarkable. It's incredibly fast. A fast pace beyond anything, our wildest imaginations, anything that we ever anticipated, and faster than anything by far that we've ever been able to develop for vaccinations. So that's exciting. So let me ask specifically, though, about Rowan County. There are 140,000 residents of Rowan County. How many do you expect will be, at the end of the day, let's say the end of the year, how many do you expect will be vaccinated?
So by the end of 2021, we are expecting that everyone who wants to be vaccinated will have the opportunity to be vaccinated at no cost to them. Right now, what we're looking at in the next 3 months, so we have 140,000 about Rowan County residents. 22% of our population is under 18, and right now the vaccine will not roll out to them. So we're just focused on those 110,000 and the senior population from that being around 25,000. And what we really want to see is about 60 to 70% of our county receiving the vaccine. So that's what's going to create what's called herd immunity. And so that's just a public health term. That means that enough people have received the vaccine or have protection from a previous infection in order to prevent the spread of the virus throughout the community. And what's really important is we want people to get the vaccine and not the virus. So we would rather people stay healthy. We don't know the long-term effects of COVID-19 on the body. And so it's really important that we do everything we can to prevent the spread, but also to contain it and to keep as many people healthy as we can. So in our community, regularly around 49% of Medicare enrollees receive the annual flu vaccine. So, you know, our hope is that the majority of citizens, way more than that 50%, will want and will see the value in getting vaccinated. Scientists and medical professionals have developed and prepared a safe and effective vaccine that's going to help us return to normal day-to-day activities, which I know is what everyone really wants and is really ready for.
How long will this vaccine last?
So that is something that they are still developing and understanding the science behind. We know from a COVID infection, you have around 3 months of immunity. What we don't know is how long the immunity lasts necessarily from the vaccine. So it's also imperative that we're able to get as many people vaccinated to reach those herd immunity levels.
So Alyssa, then let's talk specifics. How long do you think it will take? Let's say I'm going to get a vaccine. Is it very quick process? Is it something that I have to get a first shot and then a second shot later on? Or what's the process?
Yeah, so North Carolina right now is getting the Pfizer vaccine. So the Pfizer vaccine is actually in two doses that are separated by 21 days. So we will have, you know, everyone in a certain phase get that vaccine first, and then 21 days later, they'll get that second shot. So it's going to be really, really important that people understand when they need to come back and that they're able to make that second shot in the time frame that we give them.
What percentage of Rowan County residents would make your rollout effort a success? I know you said 60 to 70%. Is that a realistic number? Is that unrealistic? What would you honestly claim would be a success?
I think 60 to 70% is reasonable. I think we can reach that. I think people understand the personal responsibility that they have to protect themselves and their families and our community, and so that they know that they have to get the vaccine in order for this COVID-19 experience to go away and for the virus to finally go away.
Well, it is December 10th. Again, this podcast will be rolled out January 1. So we're just early on. We haven't started vaccinating yet, but there's this odd and bizarre sort of sense that COVID is already gone. It's been defeated, and we're all ready to, you know, party like it's 1999. But that's not true, of course. And in fact, let's say me. I'm 54, reasonably good health, no pre-existing or compromising health conditions or issues. When can I expect to get vaccinated, and what will that look like?
Yeah, so you are lucky. You would actually be looking at phase 4. So there are 4 phases. So you're going to be sort of at the end, but that's good. That means that you're healthy, that you don't necessarily aren't a priority population. So that would be around summer or fall 2021. So I think it's really important, though, to note that for Rowan County, a majority of our population actually falls into some of the very first categories. So 1B, which is, there's lots of phases, but 1B is healthcare workers, manufacturing workers, and phase 2, which are adults with two or more chronic conditions, or adults under 65 with one chronic condition. So depending on what the availability is, we could see Rowan County have more vaccines sooner rather than later. Rowan County will be beholden to what the government gives our state and then what the state then gives us for vaccines. So we do need to take that into consideration.
So despite the fact that I would be vaccinated later in the game, with a large number of people being vaccinated early in the game, we're still able to develop that herd immunity that you say is so critically important. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. It will be important, though, as people are getting vaccinated, that they continue to wear a mask, to social distance, and to wash their hands. We need to still remember that the virus is out there, that if you're vaccinated, it doesn't mean that you 100% will not get COVID, but it does mean that it could lessen the severity of the disease when you do get it. Because we know that nothing is 100%, not even vaccines. So it's still important to do all that, but we will get to that place and it will happen in 2021, which we are excited about.
Well, there are going to be a lot of folks who refuse to be vaccinated. You know that. I'm sure you've already fielded a lot of questions and some folks who are downright sort of upset or angry about it. Vaccinations in general, I mean, for whatever reason, some folks may be just concerned with how quick this has been rolled out, whatever the reasons are. I'm sure you've heard all those explanations. But let's say you're on an elevator with one of those folks, which means you have less than 2 minutes, probably 1 minute, to convince them otherwise. What do you say?
I would tell them that the scientists and medical professionals have developed a safe and effective vaccine that will help us return to those normal day-to-day activities and will save lives. No one wants to see a family member sick, and we all have that personal responsibility to do what we can to stay healthy and to help our families stay healthy, which in turn will help slow the spread of the pandemic and eliminate the virus as quickly as possible. We all want to return to normal. We want the economy to be good. We want our schools to be open. And the best way to do this is by getting vaccinated. And then again, like I said, in the meantime, we must continue to take an approach that's proven to be successful, like wearing face masks and practicing social distancing. You know, we think about Rowan County and the boundary lines that we have. We live in Rowan County, but we live our lives outside of those boundaries. And so we need to be thinking about and expecting our neighbors in Cabarrus, our neighbors in Mecklenburg or north of us to also be wanting to get the vaccine and wanting to reach that herd immunity. This is truly one of the ways that we have this individual personal responsibility that will then lead to these bigger impacts at our, you know, our neighborhood level, at our community level, throughout the county, and then throughout the state. So we should do what we would like others to do, which is get vaccinated so that we can eliminate the virus and get it out of circulation between people.
Well, good luck. I mean, I know that task is not going to be easy, and you're charged with helping to roll it out and to diffuse some of the anxiety that's out there. I really appreciate the way you call it a personal responsibility. I know a lot of folks will hear it as a personal requirement, and you know how resistant we are to anything that is required of us. We've learned through COVID that we're not a very obedient culture to our demise. But at the same time, it's given us a fierce, independent spirit. So it's, you know, good luck. That's not going to be easy. But I sure hope that the community will rally and come to understand the value, the importance of being vaccinated for the sake of the community.
And I think we'll even see that we want America as a whole, because it's not just about us. It's about us being able to, again, travel to other countries. We'll see other countries being putting in these different vaccine protocols as well. And so we'll want our community members to be healthy so that we don't carry it to other countries. And so I think that's going to be a really interesting part, is looking at it globally. and seeing what we can do, you know, if you're vaccinated. I think that'll play a role.
We're beginning to put together a list of places we want to go once all of this is, you know, well, I guess never swept aside, but feels like we are safe to travel again. And it's sort of exciting to think about those places that we can return to. Well, thank you for all the conversation about vaccines. I do have a final question, but I do want to say that you are surely open to conversation or questions from folks so they can get in touch with you at the health department.
Absolutely. And
yeah, so I hope folks will, rather than drawing conclusions based on either social media or some other input, that folks will have the chance to really dive deeply into questions that make a big difference for our community. All righty, I want to talk about your wedding. This is a really strange jump, I know, but it's our final question. Last April 25th, I mean, we talk about COVID, and we've all lost something. We've all faced significant changes these last 8, 9, 10 months, what's felt like 8, 9, 10 years. But you faced one of the biggest changes and hurdles early on, your wedding. You had, I don't know, how many people did you invite? It was going to be a big old...
more than 200.
More than 200 people that you invited to Lady Bird Farm in Rockwell, is that right?
Yes.
It was going to be a lovely occasion. I have to admit, I was looking forward to it. We all were last April 25th, but it became very clear that you were going to have to change and make some other... make a decision about what to do. You and Philip knew that you wanted to get married, and so delaying just wasn't an option for you. And as it turns out, they were married at St. John's with 8 people present, I think is about right. And it was, I have to tell you, even though I know it's not what you imagined, it's not what you dreamed about as a little girl, your wedding, and I'm not just saying this, you know that, because I've told you this before, it's one of the most memorable weddings I've ever been a part of. So it was just lovely. As you think about all the unexpected events of this past year, the losses, the shifts, the changes, the sickness, death, you name it, what has been a bright spot for you professionally and personally?
Definitely my wedding was just one of the most amazing experiences. It was very early on in the pandemic, and we really had no idea what it was going to look like. But it was beautiful, and it was special, and it was exactly, I feel like, what we were meant to do and where we were meant to be. And being able to have my dad there when there was a time that I did not think that he would be able to leave the hospital, was amazing. And just recognizing that a lot of people are experiencing some of these special events without their loved ones because of everything that's happened this year. Personally, obviously that one is gonna be my shining star. I think professionally, my background is in public health. I went to school for this. I don't think I'd ever thought that I'd be working during a global pandemic though. I have seen tragedy. I have seen, you know, just the spread of disease here in our community, but I've also witnessed a lot of resiliency and ingenuity in Rowan County, and it's one of the reasons that I love being here. You know, it wouldn't be easy, but Philip and I could move somewhere else to somewhere that wasn't our home because the health rankings are better, or maybe there's more access to something or another. But I am proud to be here, and I want to continue to stay here because I want to build up my community. And I've seen that our organizations and community members are invested. They love Rowan County, and they want to see it be a prosperous place. I'm proud of seeing our school system pivot, our healthcare providers, especially places like the Community Care Clinic, who has seen the burden of job loss and loss of insurance for the health of their patients. And then places like the YMCA, which has shown tremendous support for parents and students and allowed us to do some health programming there as well. So I think, you know, that has been that bright spot. It's been what's kept me going, knowing that, you know, everyone has come together around this.
Yeah, well, that's a beautiful way of describing it, so thank you. There are bright spots out there in the midst of a lot of the grief and worry and anxiety. We've learned a lot about each other, about ourselves, and it's forced us to look at some of the deep strengths in the community, and that's been a blessing. So folks who are listening can't see this, but I've placed in front of you our county's crystal ball. I want you to look into that crystal ball and tell us what you see in the future.
So I see a future that has unity, trust, and respect between community members, recognizing that we've all been through this very intense experience together, and recognize that there is struggle for all of us in some way, and that we can only be successful as a community if we are all successful together. So I truly see that in the future, that we will come together around this idea. But I see a Rowan County where health is taken into consideration as we think about other things like the economy or schools or anything else, that it's put on the forefront, because we've seen what happens when we don't have a healthy community, and we're seeing that play out now. And eventually I do see, you know, myself completely out of a job because everyone is healthy and people are able to live those long and productive lives doing the things that they love to do. That's what I would love to see.
I've got to ask you a question about your favorite book. I discovered recently that your favorite book is Mary Shelley's Frankenstein,
yes,
which is not what I expected, but now I'm eager to know. I did, just in looking up Frankenstein, my goodness, I haven't read that book in eons, mm-hmm, but written in London in 1818, so it's over now 200 years old, and considered the first true science fiction story. Again, not too many people choose Frankenstein. Why did you?
So, number one, I have to blame my parents. They are huge nerds. Their first date was in the 80s. They went and saw Star Wars. And so we were brought up. Well, no, but that was their first date. It's so cute. But I always thought that was cute. And we grew up watching science fiction, very, you know, Star Trek, Star Wars, anything and everything. So I think, you know, they instilled that in me from a very young age. But Frankenstein is so interesting on a number of levels. One, you've got Mary Shelley, who was only 20 when it was published, and a woman publishing a book back in 1818 was just
phenomenal,
unheard of.
And hardly a woman. She was 18 when she started it, right? Based on an experience that she had when she was 15. So she was a teenager when all of this is going through her brain, and she's processing this really fantastic tale. Well, Alyssa, you're a gift to this community and to the congregation. You're doing what you were called to do. And we hope that you'll have the stamina and the courage to keep it up. Hang in there. There's a great story in the Old Testament of Queen Esther, and she's in a frustrating place in her journey. And Mordecai, she's just wondering what she should do next, and says to her these brilliant words that I think are apropos for you. Perhaps you were created for such a moment as this. So maybe that's true. Maybe God has known this all along, that folks like you and other health leaders, other leaders in our community who have risen up when we've needed you to. So perhaps you were created for just such a time as this. Thanks for this conversation. We look forward to hearing more from you, and good luck these next few months, because it's going to be busy. But we pray that God will give you the strength to do what you've been called to do. Okay?
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Conversations That Matter, where we engage in conversation with thoughtful, passionate leaders who are making a difference in our community and in our lives. Until next time.